Prathara Shrimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 1, Text Number 3. Bhubhara Raja Pritana Yadubhina Rasya Guptai Svabahu Virachintaya Raprameyaha Manyeva Nirnanugato Pyagatam Hibharam Yadyadavam kulamaho abhishayamaste. Translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead used the Yadu dynasty, which is protected by his own arms, to eliminate the kings who, with their armies, had been the burden on this earth. Then the unfathomable Lord thought to himself, quote, although some may say that the earth's burden is now gone, in my opinion, it is not yet gone, because there still remains the Yadava dynasty itself, whose strength is unbearable for the earth. Purport. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has remarked in this regard that although ordinary people might think that the Lord had now removed the burden of the earth by killing the demons, re-establishing Dharma, and so on, Lord Sri Krishna himself could detect that there was further danger from the irreligious activities of his own family members who were acting improperly. It is stated in Srimad Bhagavatam that a just king will refuse to punish his own enemy if his enemy is innocent, but will punish his own son if his son actually deserves punishment. Thus, although in the eyes of the world the members of the Lord's own dynasty are always worshipable, Lord Krishna detected that by their intimate association with him, some members of the Yadu dynasty had become indifferent to his will. Since such whimsical members of the Yadu dynasty could act freely, being relatives of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they would surely cause misfortune for the world, and foolish persons would take such whimsical behavior to be the will of Krishna. Thus, the Lord, whose desires are inconceivable, began to consider the need to annihilate the indifferent, contemptuous members of the Yadu family. From the viewpoint of ordinary persons, all the demons had already been killed by the Supreme Lord's pastimes in Dwarka and Mathura, as well as by the battle for Kurukshetra, and the earth was now free of its burden. Nevertheless, to free the earth from the remaining burden of his own puffed-up family members, Lord Sri Krishna transferred them away from the earth by causing a fratricidal quarrel among them. In this way, he prepared for his own disappearance from the earth. Sridhar Swami has pointed out that the word Bahubi, quote, by his arms, is used in the plural rather than the dual to indicate that the Lord caused the destruction of the Yadu dynasty in his four-armed form. The original form of Krishna as Govinda is two-armed, but it was by the plenary portion of the four-armed Narayan that the Lord killed all the demons on the earth and ultimately remove the burdensome members of his own family. It may be asked, if certain members of the Yadu dynasty had become indifferent to the will of the Lord, why didn't they oppose the Lord in his plan to remove them from the earth? Therefore, the word aprameya is used, which indicates that it is impossible for anyone, even the Lord's own family members, to understand his will completely. In other words, the point is made that even his own family members couldn't understand what Krishna's plan was to have them do this fratricidal quarrel. Srila Jiva Goswami has given another reason for the destruction of the Yadu dynasty. He emphasizes that the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead should never be taken to be ordinary material activities, nor are the Lord's associates ordinary persons. Although Lord Krishna apparently incarnates within this world for some time and then goes away, it should be understood that the Supreme Lord is eternally situated with his entourage in his various abodes in the spiritual sky, such as Sri Gokul, Mathura, and Dwarka. The members of the Yadu dynasty are eternal associates of the Lord, and therefore they cannot bear to be separated from the Lord. Since Krishna was preparing to give up his earthly pastimes, if he were to leave the Yadu dynasty on the earth, they would surely become so disturbed by his absence that in their highly agitated state of mind, they would trample and destroy the earth. Therefore, Krishna arranged the disappearance of the Yadu dynasty prior to his own disappearance. Srila Jiva Goswami concludes that ultimately, the members of the Yadu dynasty are never to be considered irreligious. Vaishnavacharyas have mentioned that the story of the disappearance of the Yadu dynasty is especially meant to help the conditioned souls achieve liberation from the bondage of materialistic life. Within the three worlds, there were none as powerful and opulent as the Yadu dynasty. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is a possessor of unlimited opulences, beauty, strength, knowledge, fame, and so on. And the members of the Yadu dynasty, being the personal associates of the Lord, were also endowed with inconceivable opulences. Therefore, when we see how a fratricidal war suddenly deprived the members of the Yadu dynasty of all their earthly possessions and even their lives, we can understand that there's no permanent position within this material world. In other words, although the members of the Yadu dynasty are eternal associates of the Lord and were immediately transferred to another planet where the Lord was appearing, their sudden disappearance through fratricidal war is meant to impress upon the conditioned souls the temporary nature of this world. Therefore, the apparent indifference or enmity of certain members of the Yadu dynasty toward Krishna should not be taken to be actual irreligion on their part. The entire situation was arranged by Lord Krishna to teach a lesson to the conditioned souls. In this connection, Srila Jiva Goswami has cited several verses from the Bhagavatam to prove that the members of the Yadu dynasty achieved their exalted birth in the Lord's own family by innumerable pious activities and by complete absorption in thought of Lord Krishna. In fact, it is said that in sleeping, sitting, walking, and speaking, they were unable to remember their own selves because they were simply thinking of Krishna. In the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 1:15:33, Srila Prabhupada has commented as follows on the disappearance of the Yadu dynasty. Quote, "The setting of the sun does not mean the end of the sun. It means that the sun is out of our sight. Similarly, the end of the mission of the Lord on a particular planet or universe only means that he's out of our sight. The end of the Yadu dynasty does not mean that it is annihilated. It disappears along with the Lord out of our sight." So many different points are made here in this verse and purport. Srila Jiva Goswami has noted the apparent indifference or enmity of certain members of the Yadu dynasty toward Krishna should not be taken to be actual irreligion on their part. So this is a important point in our Gaudiya Vaishnavism. Krishna says twice in the Gita, Shreyansa Dharma Viguna Paradharma Svanusitat, do your duty. Don't try to do someone else's duty. And Prabhupada notes in Chaitanya Charitamrita that devotees, the nature of a Vaishnava is that they're adosha darshi. They're busy with something else. They don't see faults in others. They're busy with something else. They have their own work. In our only revered spiritual master, Gaurabhagavan Maharaj, she's commented many times, and there's two things, drishta, the seer, and drishta, the seen. So by our constitutional position, we can't see who's a Vaishnava and who's not. And if we want to make advancement, we have to get this point through our thick heads. And they're very thick. We're always trying to claim this is a Vaishnava, this is a sadhu, he's a sannyasi. He has orange cloth on and a stick, therefore he must be very advanced. Mm-hmm. But the Bhagavatam teaches us in fourth canto that Indra was also dressed up like that. So Krishna consciousness is not a costume contest. Although Indra was dressing up like a sannyasi, he was actually introducing a religion. So we can't see who's a Vaishnava. We can't see who that is just by some external vision. Srila Prabhupada, he's made this point in 9th canto, chapter 13, text 11, purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead can be seen or unseen according to his own transcendental desire. Similarly, a devotee being Jivan Mukta can be seen or not as he chooses. So, just as Krishna can be seen or not seen according to his own desire, similarly, a devotee who's Jivan Mukta can be seen or not as he chooses. You don't know. If Gaur Kishore Das Babaji were to come today to ISKCON, what would we think of him? He's just sitting in the toilet all day long chanting. How many books did he distribute? He's not going out. If Vamsi Das Babaji were to come, we would kick him out of the temple. He's smoking a hookah and he's yelling at people sometimes. And sometimes Vamsi Das Babaji, he would not always bathe his Gorni Thai deities. But those deities were speaking to him because he had love. And sometimes they would complain. Why are you not giving us a bath? We want a bath. So he'd say, okay, okay, you're causing so much trouble. So then he would take one deity, stick it under one armpit, take the other deity, stick it under the other armpit, and he would go out to the Ganga and immerse himself a few times. And that's how he would give his bath. So that's not a very recommended process for us to try to imitate. And if we saw that, what would we think? Oh, this is very bad. Huh? He's doing some aparad. But Krishna likes it. Mahaprabhu likes it. Take shelter of his lotus feet. His lotus feet are the abode of all auspiciousness. Mm-hmm. When will I become mad? Mati bo hridaya dhari, by holding those feet to my heart. And we should know, Vaishnava Thakur aprakrita sada. The Vaishnavas are always transcendental. Well, I don't know about that. Huh? But they're chanting Krishna now. Mantitas tantitas chidram desukalaha vasil sabgruti nishidram anusam kirtanam tava. Wherever the chanting of the holy name is going on, it's not a mundane thing. So Krishna iti yasya giritvam manasadriyeta. Rupa Goswami says you should respect them. They're nirdosha. They have no fault. They're anandamoya. They're always filled with happiness. Krishna nami priti. They have so much love for Krishna nam. Jare udasine. They have no interest in anything mundane. Jivete doya druhoi. They're always melting with compassion for all the fallen souls. So, we can't see who's such a Vaishnava. We can't see whose heart is melting with compassion for the fallen conditioned souls. We don't know who's doing that. We know if we went to see Vamsi Das Babaji and he started shouting at us, go away, and started shouting at Gorni Thai on one occasion, I'd said that somebody came and stole the plate, brass plate is something he had to feed Gorni Thayan. They had two plates, and they stole both plates. And so he came before the deity and said, look, you guys did this, you two brothers. This is your fault. I'm not going to feed you until you bring the plates back. And he didn't give anything to them. And then after a day, then somebody, somehow one of the plates was returned. So then he said, okay, Nittai, he can eat. But Mahapu, you can't eat until you bring the plate back. So if we saw something like that, what would we think? And so many things may be there like that. We can't see who's a Vaishnava and who's not a Vaishnava. Thakur Bhaktivinoda, he describes, when he speaks about Vaishnava Aparad, that there's three types of criticism which constitute Vaishnava Aparad. Prabhutpana, when you criticize some impurities from a Vaishnava's past. Oh, this person, he used to smoke pot, he used to smoke marijuana, he was drinking before. He's not a devotee. That's Vaishnava Aparad. The second one is called Shaya Vashishta. Some impurities which are perishing. He still has some impurities. This devotee, he's come to Prabhupada, he's come to this movement. Maybe he's not perfect yet, but he's chanting Krishna now. Prabhupada said he's in the hospital, he's in the standing in the shower. So why are you criticizing him for being dirty? And the third one is Daivotpana. Some impure activities that may take place accidentally. And Bhaktivinoda says that if you criticize a Vaishnava for any of these three reasons, it prevents namspurti, the appearance of the holy name in your heart. And it keeps one from becoming a Vaishnava. So we shouldn't criticize these reasons. We can't understand, we can't recognize who's a Vaishnava. Bhaktivinoda, he raises a question. Is it ever a good idea to criticize other people if you don't have good intentions? And he answers that the Shastra doesn't forbid one from discussing one's faults if one has a good intention. And he says that those good intentions are of two types. One is if some auspiciousness will come to the person by discussing their sins, then it's good to discuss. If you're going to help them. What does that mean? That means that they accept you. If they have respect for you, they have faith in you. If they don't have faith in you, then the injunction is Ashradadani Vimukhe Pushinvati Yashchopadesha Shiva Namaparadha. It's a Namaparad to say anything to them. Because they don't accept you, they don't have faith in you, so you can't say anything. You just be quiet. The second reason, second type of good intention is if it's the result is beneficial for the world. If you're a preacher, if you've been given this trust to do this thing, and if you say something about them, their sinful activities, and by hearing about that, then other people become benefited, then that act is considered to be pious. Therefore, generally, we don't mention someone's name if we discuss some bad thing about them. Because we don't really know. As we said the other day, what if someone were to come, what if I were to tell you that I knew someone who was killing Brahmins and breaking deities and raping women and doing all kinds of things, would you respect them? No. But then what if I told you that person was an eternal associate of the Lord? And their names were Jai and Vijay. It's Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. So we can't see who's a Vaishnava and who's not. But we have this pride, this abhiman that we think we can see. But here in this text of the Bhagavatam, we can't understand. We can't understand the Yadu dynasty. They're doing some things. It seems like they're criticizing Krishna. It seems like they're being demoniac. But they're not. So there's three different types of blind persons. Three different types of persons who can't see. Kamando naiva pashyati. Someone who has lust, he can't see. Janmanda nacha pashyanti janmanda. Someone who's blind by birth, he can't see. Someone who's blinded by lust, they can't see. And madhonmatana pashyanti. Someone who's blind because of pride, they can't see. So we have so much pride, we can't see what's what. I'll just finish by telling a short story to illustrate this point. It's said that on one occasion, Dronacharya, he called for Yudhisthira. He said, Yudhisthira, I've been teaching you so long now. Now I want some Guru Bakshish, some Guru Dakshina. Yes, Guru Maharaj, what do you want? I want you to go out and I want you to find one person who's lower than you. Yes, Guru Maharaj. Just one person, anybody. Just bring me one person who's lower than you. Yes, Guru Maharaj. You just went out. Then Dronacharya called for Duryodhan. Duryodhan, I've been teaching you so long, I want some Guru Bakshis. Yes, Guru Maharaj, what do you want? I want you to go out and I want you to find one person, just one, anywhere you go, one person, bring him back to me, who's better than you. Yes, Guru Maharaj. And they were both gone for a very long time. And finally Yudhishthira came back and was holding his head down. And Dronacharya said, so? He told you to bring me one person who is lower than you. Where is that person? Yudhishthira said, Guru Maharaj, please forgive me. I looked everywhere. I went all over the world. I searched everywhere, but I couldn't find anyone who was lower than me. Please forgive me. I failed. Just at that time, Duryodhan returned. And Duryodhan, he was a little annoyed. He said, Guru Maharaj, you gave me such a very difficult job. Very, very hard thing. I went all over the world looking for someone better than me. I couldn't find anyone better than me. Then Dronacharya, he told Duryodhan, no, here is somebody better than you. He pointed to Yudhishthira. He said, and Yudhishthira, your search is also over. Here's someone who's lower than you. Duryodhan. So a proud person, he can't see anyone better than himself. But we should adopt a mood like Yudhishthira. That actually there's no one more fallen than me in all the three worlds. Nahi Tribhuvana. In all the three worlds, there's nobody who's a more fallen person than myself. That's the mood that we can approach Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in. And if we do our bhajan in that kind of mood, then the Lord will reveal Himself to us. And He'll reveal to us what's right and what's wrong. Who's really a devotee and who's really not a devotee. And if we try any other course of activities to ascertain who's a devotee and who's not, we'll always and necessarily be cheated. We won't be able to see who's a devotee. Our only course of action is to depend on Krishna in a mood of complete helplessness. I can't see who's a devotee. I can't recognize him. I'm depending on you. And then the Lord will whisper in our heart. And a very fascinating thing is that what may be a sadhu for me may not be a sadhu for you. We have to also understand that point. I have my wife. She's not your wife. I love her and I have attachment for her, but it's not necessarily so for you. I have some appreciation for her. Similarly, we may have different gurus. And one person may find some inspiration in that person. Wherever we find inspiration from somebody, that person, we can treat them as our guru. But we may have that inspiration from different types of people. It's not that everybody has to have the same inspiration from the same person. Therefore, Gopaya Guru Matmanaha. Sanatana Goswami, quoting Samoyan Tantra, says we should hide our guru. We shouldn't advertise it because my guru is not necessarily your guru. We can't see who's a sadhu and who's not. And that's the lesson in this verse. Grantharashma Bhagavatam ki. Jai. Goprema Nandi Hari Hari Yubo. Okay, quickly.
So, you said that we should see that we cannot decide who is the Vaishnava, who is not, and we should see that we are the lowest, but we cannot imitate that state because it's a very high elevated. And when we started this Bhagavatam section, we started with understanding these demigods who has some material desires and they were not ready to fully surrender to Krishna, and this is why Krishna remembers all this Prabhas incident. And this time we see that they had no faults, so this is the two, and I think the balance maybe between these two, yeah? So what do you comment about this, that one side we shouldn't try to find so much fault, and we should be very humble and shouldn't search for any fault, and other sides we should be very intelligent in some way to understand some things and take lessons, or avoid some wrong, avoid something.
Well, the point is that with our Atashri Krishna Namadi Nabhavigram India, we can't see who's a devotee. We can't see Krishna. So we have to depend on Krishna. That's really being a disciple, and we have to really take shelter of the instructions of our guru. Not that we use the Bhagavatam and some of the things he says as a stick to beat people with. Oh, it says here the guru should be like this, and I don't think you're like that. Bam, bam, bam. And we hit them with that. No. Maybe the Bhagavatam has spoken to my heart in this way that I don't believe this person's a sadhu, so I'm not going to go to him. And I may speak strongly that a sadhu shouldn't smoke ganja, sadhu shouldn't do this thing and that thing, but why should I mention someone's name? Bhamsidas Babaji was smoking a hookah sometimes. Why should I, if I criticize him, that's a very, very sinful thing. But I may criticize the activity. We shouldn't do that activity of smoking a hookah. We shouldn't do like that. And we should cultivate humility. Humility may be something beyond us. It may not be natural and real for us. It may be artificial for us to act in a humble way like that. But Sanatana Goswami, in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, he says, first of all, this humility gives us Krishna prema. And Krishna prema gives humility. The two are in cause and effect. And he says that we should cultivate humility in three ways. With our body, with our words, and with our mind. We should cultivate it. Doesn't mean that I'm actually humble. But with my body, I should bow down before the devotees. And I should serve them, carry things for them, and do things for them. With my words, I should glorify devotees. Speak highly of others. And not demand respect for myself, but speak about and acknowledge my own faults. And with my mind, I should cultivate humility by seeing all my bad qualities and trying to think good things of other people and trying to be respectful to other people. If we do that, then we can do our nambhajan. But if we don't behave in this tanada pisa nichi in a way, then there's no question of kirtaniya sadahari. We won't be able to always chant the holy name because we'll make some Vaishnava aparad. We'll be proud. So this verse is such an important verse, the Tanada Pisanichini verse. We have to cultivate it. It's not, in one sense, it's not that the holy name is dependent on that. That's Kolpanam Namaparad. Sanatana Goswami says, if you think that the holy name is dependent on humility, if the holy name is dependent on anything, then the holy name, it means the holy name is not independent. And that's some offense to the holy name. If we chant the holy name, even if we're a proud fellow, if we keep chanting, then eventually the humility will come. But the problem is that if we're very proud, we won't be able to keep chanting. That chanting may stop because we may do some Vaishnava aparad and lose our taste for the holy name. So therefore, just like with a well, when you're pumping water out of a well, sometimes I grew up in the country, we had a well, we had to pump our water one time. Sometimes you're pumping and pumping and nothing comes out. So you have to put water in the well. And we call it priming the well. You put water in the well and it fills up a little cup, it makes it a little heavier, then it goes down and it gets water. So by putting something into it, then we get the same thing out. So if we act in a humble way, even though we're not really humble, then it's like priming the well. And some humility will come out and it'll protect us so that we can chant the holy name. Is that alright?
Partly.
This goes
on. Yeah, this is a long thing. Thank you.
Shri Prabhupada Ki
Jai.